Welcome back to the Global OU Tehillim and Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman of the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Chamishi, the sixth day of the month of Av. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Eliyahu Maskamov of Ohel Sara in Queens, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Maskamov slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Tarek Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. These are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and will be followed by the Mishaberach, Becholim, and Achinu. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Maskamov.
Thank you. I'm deeply grateful to the OU for giving me this wonderful opportunity to come on and share some words of inspiration, some Divrei Chizuk to Jews from all over who came on to be inspired, to be motivated. So we're coming closer to Tisha B'Av, the destruction, the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. Why did Hashem destroy the Beit HaMikdash? And the Gemara tells us because of baseless hatred, because of hate towards one another, because of that lack of camaraderie, because of that lack of shalom, that peace that was missing. But how do we stop hating somebody? How do we get rid of that hate from within our hearts? So I want to share with you the following story that really brings out, I think, the key or the real the ingredients of how to really get out that hate and come to love others, no matter how bad the situation might be, or no matter how difficult it might seem. Not too many years ago in Israel, there was a taxi driver who was driving down a main road, and suddenly he sees a bus pull up in front of him, and the bus opens its doors, and a boy from around the age of 5 or 6 comes out of that bus. And this taxi driver was driving at a very high speed, didn't realize, and before he knew it, as soon as he saw the boy coming out, he pressed on the brake, but it was too late. He ended up hitting the boy. And the boy fell to the ground. The ambulance came. They rushed him to the hospital. They did everything they can, but unfortunately, the boy didn't make it. The taxi driver felt terrible, and the family of this boy couldn't believe what happened. They were just so broken. Of course, they brought him to court, and this was a Jewish taxi driver. The boy was Jewish. The family is Jewish. The family that lost their boy, and it was such a catastrophe. They couldn't go. Didn't know how to go about it. And they, when it came to court, the taxi driver presented the king's case, that the lawyer is there, and the lawyer decided, and the judge decided that being that it was accidental, it was unintentional, and it wasn't done maliciously, they decided to send him to jail, but not for a lifetime, just for 5 years. And the taxi driver goes off to jail. Now, this taxi driver, he's the breadwinner for his house. The entire household depends on him to bring money, to pay for the rent, to pay for the utilities, to pay for tuition, bring food to the house. And the mother of this house has no clue what to do. She doesn't work. She doesn't have a job. She doesn't know how she's going to pay for rent. And she only has a few, a certain amount of money that she could spend for that month, but she doesn't know what's going to be after. And the fridge is getting emptier and emptier. And one day she comes home after a month after her husband was sent to jail. She comes home and she sees a big box standing right by her doorstep. She opens the box and she sees food on top of food. She sees meat, poultry. She sees cheese and eggs and everything that could possibly be needed for the house. And on top of it all, there's an envelope with a little letter that says in it, paid in full. And there's inside the envelope, there's a stack of cash, just enough to pay for the rent, pay for utilities, and pay for the tuition. And that entire month, she depended on this box. She depended on the money that she got, that she received. But she had no clue where in the world did this box come from. So she started going to her neighbors, and she asked, excuse me, but do you know where this box came from? I received the box filled with food and groceries and cash. And none of her neighbors knew. Nobody had a clue. They said, I wish we could help you, but we really don't know. She said, I wish I could thank this person, but there's no way I could thank them if I don't know who they are. And a week later, she comes home, about a month later, 2 weeks later, she comes home, and sees another box by her door. She says, I have to figure out who's leaving this box by my door. She realizes it's always lands by her doorstep around the same day. And she decides next week around Sunday, which is when the box usually stops by the door, she's going to wait outside, wait by her window, wait for to see who's bringing that box. And she waits, and suddenly she sees a boy carrying this big box. He brings it to her doorstep. She quickly calls down from the window, wait, stop, wait, who are you, what's your name? And the boy realizes somebody's calling out to him, and he quickly runs away. By the time she gets to the door, he was way gone. And then she waits another week, and she again tries to stop the boy, but he still looks for her. And she goes to visit her husband, and she tells him, you know, he asks her, how's everything doing? How's everything going? Is everything okay? How are you managing without me? She says, I don't know, but there's somebody who's leaving the boxes by our doorstep. I have no idea where it's coming from. I wish I could know, but there's some boy who's bringing it, and every time I try to ask him, where'd you get this box from? Why are you bringing it here? He doesn't answer me. He just runs away. And this goes on for the next 5 years. 5 years later, the taxi driver comes home, and he's nervous to see what happened with his family, and Baruch Hashem, everybody is well. And there's food on the table, there's food in the fridge, and everything's paid for. The rent is paid for, the utilities, everything. And right after he comes home, the box stopped coming. And they never were able to find out exactly where this box come from. Who was paying for all the groceries? Who was taking care of the family while the husband was gone all those years, 5 years in jail? One day, the wife goes on a bus, on a city bus, and she sees a very familiar face on the other side of the bus. She realizes, that's the boy that was bringing the box to my house every week. That's the boy every month, or whatever. She was bringing it sometimes once in a week, or once in a while, once in a month. And she decided that she's going to approach him, and she comes up to him and says, wait, please, don't go anywhere. He realizes who she is, and he's about to run away again. She says, please, don't go. Just tell me, what's your name? He says, my name is Mayor Cohen. He says, Mayor Cohen? Are you related to so-and-so Cohen, the boy that my husband hit accidentally? He says, yes, that's actually my brother. He says, that's your brother? But why? She decided she's going to go and find out from the family directly. She finds out the address to the family who was helping her for all that time. She goes down to the house. They knock on the door, her and her husband, and the door opens, and there is the family, and they're facing each other. Such an awkward moment. They don't know what to say to each other. And they're just standing there in silence. And then the husband decides he's going to break the taxi driver decides he's going to break the silence. Says, I am so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I can't imagine what you went through, the pain that I put you through. I really didn't mean it. And they, you know, when the family said, look, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Says, but don't wait. Just before we leave off, just tell us, why did you do it? Why did you care to bring this box to our house? Why did you care to help us financially throughout this difficult time? So they said, well, I'll tell you the truth. And they welcomed them in, and they sat them down. They told them, look, you know, we went to many rabbanim, and we spoke to all types of rabbis, and we just couldn't get rid of that hate that we felt towards you. And the more we looked at my son's pictures, and the more it reminded us of what happened, we just couldn't get over it. And just that hatred within us just grew and grew. But we know that the Torah tells us that we must get rid of that hatred from within us. We know that the Torah commands that you can't hold a grudge against your brother. You must love every single Jew, no matter what. How do we love somebody who did something so painful so well? So we came to this one Rav, and the Rav told us, and he advised us. What we should do is, we should start giving. As Rav Eliyahu Dessler writes in Mishnah Eliyahu, what comes first, giving or loving? And he says, while the secular world, the rest of the world will tell you, first you must love, and then only then can you give. The Jewish approach is that first you must give, and the more you will give, the more you will come to love. So we decided that the only way we could do this is by giving to you. And that's exactly what we did. We told our other sons to come to you every single month and to drop off that package by you, drop off that box, and to give you. We wanted to keep it anonymous, you know, but now you're here, and now you see for yourself, you know, that we really do forgive you, and we really do have come even to love you. And I just understand, although this whole time we couldn't believe what happened, and we knew it was from Hashem, but at the end of the day, it was hard for us to get past those feelings. But now that we were able to give to you, we were able to get past the hatred and get that hatred out of our hearts. The Torah commands us not to hate a brother in our hearts. After all, why hold a grudge? That feeling of hate in your heart, in the end of the day, you're only hurting yourself. But how do we overcome hatred? How do we outgrow it and get past it? From our story, we can learn a fundamental principle, a principle that Shlomo HaMelech taught us many years ago. The way to get past hate is through love. And we see many examples where loving only comes after giving. If there's someone in your life that you feel negative towards, try to find a way to be courteous to them. a way to be kind to them, even if it means just a daven for them. These kinds of actions are going to help you let go of the negativity within your heart. But not only that, but when they see you acting the way you do towards them, most people will actually start to reciprocate. And before you know it, it's possible that you can actually develop a relationship, a friendship with the same person you taught with your enemies. Thank you. We're going to now read Tehillim of
יענכו משכמי כסו בגבות ישראל מנו אלה ורכב ואלה בסיסים ואנחנו משם אדוני אלוהינו נזכיר המה קראו ונפלו ואנחנו קמנו בת פוניתודד אדוני ראשי המלך יעננו ויום קראנו סף גמל מזמור לי דוד אדוני רואי לו עכשיו בנו דרשי בצ'יני על נאמן הול יעני הליני נפשיר שובב יעני הליני ומגרי צדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגית המבט, לא ירדה כי אתה עמדי, שסוכן שטח רעי מן יחמוני, תערוך לפני שולחן נגד צדוריי, ושעצם השם לא שיק אותי ויה. אך טוב וחסי, ירדפוני רבי מחיי, ושבתי בבית אדוני, אני עורך ימים. קוף אלף. תיר למעלות את העיניי לחכרים, מאין יבוא עזרי, עזרי מאם אדוני עושה שמיים בארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומך, הנה לא ינום לא ישר שמר ישראל, אדוני שומך, אדוני שלך על יד ימנך, ימר השמש שלא יקקע, וירח בלילה, אדוני ישמך בכל רע ישמור את נפשך, אדוני ישמור את עצמך ולוח המיוצא ויד עולם. וכנמד, שיר המעלו, ומעקים כרציך אדוני, אדוני שמע בקולי תראינה, אזניך כשרות לקרות אדוני, אם תעונות תשמר יא אדוני מי יעמוד, כי אמך אצלך למען שיורא, קיבוץ אדוני, קיבוץ נפשי, לברוך הוכחתי, נפשי לאדוני משומרים בבוקר, שומרים בבוקר, קהל ישראל על אדוני, כי אם אדוני חסד והרבה, כמעון פודות, וכו יזר, תקשור המחור על נותיו. אני מקבל, ונפולים פרסיק, תשמח אותי אברהם לתק ויקום, משה אברון דוד שלמה, הוא ירפא, ירפא, יברך, ירפא את החולים. הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליכם לחלימים לחלימום ולפוצם ולחזיקם ולחיותם לכם מהירה לפועה שלמה מן השמיים לרמח לברכם ושתק ידיכם בתוך שער לרבי ישראל לפועה נפש שבת הגוף השתבחשת בגל ובזמן קריר ונאמר אמן אחינו כל בית ישראל הנוצנים בצרה ובשביעה עומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה. המקום ירחם עליכם, ויושעם מטרה לרווחה, ומאפלה לאורה. ומשפוט לגאולה, והשת בגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן.
אמן. Thank you so much, Rabbi Maxima. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, botova, for good. Please join us again tomorrow on Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the next call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.